Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Double extra points for getting here on a time change Sunday. Is anyone feeling it? You feeling it? Anyone? Just anyone? Nobody's feeling it. Okay. All right. I see Claudine back there. Anyone else? All right. There's a few people that are feeling it. I'm like four shots of espresso in, so I'm not feeling anything. Woo! All right. You ready? Let's go. All right. So we're in week two of... Some of you are like, you better calm down. It's too early for that. Okay. So we are in week two of Influencer, and I will calm down after this sermon. Here's the thing. This series is all about the importance of you realizing that it's actually not just the pastor who has influence. And this series is all about how God has empowered you to be an influence and bring hope to hopeless people all around you. We have a guest here on the platform. His name is Sinna, named by my daughter. Don't judge, just because he's a Sinna. we bought this. It's a koi. I would just like to calm everybody down. He's going to stay in the glass. Unless something else happens, unforeseen, unplanned, the production team and a few other people thought he better stay in the glass. And so you might lose your mind if I take him out and let him flop around on stage, right? Okay, that's why I'm not gonna do that. Okay, just don't come fishing with me, because fish die when I go fishing. Okay, just, right, Steve? Yep, especially snook, slot size only. Okay, if you're listening, FWC, just slot size. And occasionally, pretty much only when I go fishing with you, Steve. By the way, the guy who was asking me about fishing help, right there, okay? Talk to him. Okay, back to the sermon. I brought this guest here because now that you know his name, you feel an endearment to him, I know. And the truth is that if he was flopping around here on the stage, many of you would lose your minds. Some of you would walk up here and try to rescue him, right? Like, if I just sat here and, like, watched him flop around and stood back... somebody would come here and rescue the stupid fish, right? Sorry. The delightful aquatic creature. Because somebody would rescue him, right? And you know what? He almost died already today. Because we were both driven here by my daughter, Samantha. And she's still learning how to drive and how to take turns at less than 50 miles per hour. And it was dark out. It was really early. And... he's like, yeah, tell my story. And so we're going around a turn, like two turns out from our house, and I hear slosh, 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 and I look down at my feet. My feet are wet. I had a different pair of shoes. Thank God I had them. And I'm like, easy there. Sinna, are you still there? I got the flashlight out. Sinna! He's still there. He's like, I saw a little fin thumbs up. You know, he's okay. He made it, okay, at least that far. And he's going to make it through the end. Some of you are very concerned about what his future fate is, and that's fantastic. That's really nice of you guys to think about his future. He's available for adoption. Kids talk to your parents, only with permission. If that doesn't happen, my mom is going to raise him. This is the last resort, and she's told me that, that she will raise him and release him into her pond when he's bigger. He'll grow a little bigger than that. So especially in the pond. So here's the thing, because I can't demonstrate this with a real fish because y'all will freak out and post nasty things on Instagram and send me bad emails. This is kind of what happened this morning on the way here, you know, just kind of like, that's what happened. And thank God it didn't quite happen like that. And some of you are hungry right now. And you're like, those were perfectly good goldfish. Don't hate on the snack that smiles back, okay? And some of you are like, and those of you who vacuumed in here and cleaned the carpet yesterday, you're like, hey, don't crush that, okay? And here's the thing. Like just how you're concerned about the goldfish crackers and how you would utterly lose your mind if we left the fish up here to flop around. We have people that are dying around us needing the good news that you have. We have people that are flopping around in life waiting to be rescued. We have people that have, man, they've been subjected to some rough turns, okay, and have splashed out of their comfort zone, and they're like a fish out of water, taking their last. And here's the thing, in my job, I get to be with people when they die. And I get called in because people are finally ready to put their faith in Jesus. I want to kind of spoil it for you. Did you know that you're around the same people? Because these are usually your friends too. And so you are around people who are dying. In fact, let me just spoiler alert, every last one of you is dying, okay? Some of you, a little sooner, not saying anything, but a little sooner than the rest of us. However, those ones that usually call me in, they know kind of, oh, I'm at the end. And that's when they decide, hey, maybe I ought to do something about this whole Jesus thing. Wouldn't it be great if God would send influencers into that situation so they didn't have to just come to Jesus in the last moments of their life, but they could experience the hope and that rescue and that love and that peace and that grace that has no end all the way through their life instead of in their parting breaths? You are the rescue mission. Hey, we have a church here. You guys are doing great. You're doing awesome. Sometimes we have to talk about things that you guys do well so that you keep doing them well. And I want to say, like, you guys do well at inviting people to church, at connecting people. We want to continue to enhance that. We want to continue to equip you. But, like, we have to realize that we have to never forget our role as influencers. In fact, in 2021, in March 2021, we moved into this campus. We moved onto this campus, March 2021. All the way up to then, we met 15 years in the middle school, set up, tear down. Raise your hand if you set up chairs or anything at the middle school. Lord, help us, okay? For 15 years, we set up stuff, we tore down stuff. We had coastal kids in a hallway, people. It was nasty. I don't know why any of you dropped off your children in that place, okay? But you did. The Lord blessed us, and here we are, okay? And it's not just the building, but it's the people. When you guys invite people to church, everyone usually says to me when I follow up, everybody was so welcoming, so friendly. And I'm like, I can't even remember connecting with this person, but someone did, and it was you. You have influence. Now, I want to kind of applaud you for a minute, because in 2021 to 2024, I compared our average attendance. I took out that huge one when Nikki got baptized and the whole world came to go see Nikki and a few of her friends get baptized. I edited that out, but the average attendance compared to 2021, we've grown by 83%. Yeah, that's, God's doing big things. And it's because of your influence. And I want to tell you, you have influence that goes beyond the service schedule. I want to tell you, you have Easter invite cards in your chair, and we want you to invite people to Easter. But did you know that you can invite people to church any time of year? And you can even talk about Jesus without them coming to church. Right? Like, that may not be where they're at yet, but you can just be obedient. So, here's the deal. Whether you're in my job or in your job as the everyday Christian, wherever you're at, God has a role for you. God wants you. He will equip you. He has called you to be influencers. We're going to read this verse just so we don't get off track. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Don't worry. This week, I'm going to pause in between the verses so you can keep up. You ready to read with me? I didn't wait for a reply. We're going to go. 3, 2, 1. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gives us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We are speaking for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are the rescuers. So my hope is that your influence will be unleashed on a world desperate for hope. I want to repeat what I said last week. So many of us have been disenfranchised / nauseated by the way we've seen Jesus represented in the world that we've shied back from this. And we've been like, ooh, I don't want to associate too closely because they're going to think I'm one of those freaks that hurt them. And I want to tell you that if you're going to allow those freaks to steer the message of God in our world, you are surrendering your influence. You have to take back the reputation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't allow him to be defined by hate and by condemnation and all the other foolishness that we've seen. We have to re-represent Jesus. That's what we're called to do as ambassadors. I didn't mean to throw crackers at you. Sorry. Don't eat them. It's fairly clean, but let's not. 20-year-old carpet. That's just my guess. I have no idea how old this carpet is. I wouldn't do it. All right, moving on. So you are the rescue strategy, and we're going to talk about why it's so urgent that we not allow people to flounder, that we not allow people to flop around us, but that we are tuned in to the Holy Spirit's leading, and that we are urgently looking for where God would have us influence. So number one, God needs influencers who are willing to go to anyone, anywhere. And some of you hear anyone, anywhere, and you're like, everyone, everywhere. No, he just needs you willing to go to anyone, anywhere, and he will identify that subsection of the anyone and anywhere. Are you with me? So you don't have the whole Great Commission on your shoulders. You're right? You don't have to be obnoxious because you're God to everybody. God will direct you to go to someone, somewhere, anyone, anywhere. We're going to be talking about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip from Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I encourage you, if you don't have a copy of the scriptures in some way, download the YouVersion, YOUVersion Bible app, and follow along with us in the New Living Translation. It'll be called the NLT. And because I'll go back and forth and I want you to be able to keep up. Also, if you create an account with your Google account or whatever, you can actually highlight stuff and you'll never lose it. You won't lose track of it. You can even go back to it later on this week and let the Lord speak more through that passage. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road. Everybody say desert road. That runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was returning. Now, seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, I kind of want to do a little bit of explaining from verse 26 and 27. Verse 26, it says that the Lord spoke to Philip and said, go, where is he going to go? Going to go to the south, y'all. Okay, he's going south to the what? The desert. I love how the Lord's like, hey, I want you to go to the difficult place. I want you to go to the place where they don't have Chick-fil-A. I want you to go to the place where the Super Walmart's 45 minutes away. You know, I don't know what that is for you. Some of you are like, you think of Fellsmere. You know, that's where I live. Some of you are like, that's way out there. You know, some of you, you're from New Mexico or Arizona. That's like way, that's the desert, literally is the desert. But I want you to think metaphorically, because God will call you to go into someone's metaphorical desert to meet them there. And it may not be comfortable. And Philip doesn't even ask questions. I want to make one more point here. This is where what the Lord says ends. Verse 26. As verse 27 picks up, we're hearing the narrative voice. We're hearing the narrator say, and then this is what happened. So all the information that Philip has to go on is the Lord said, go to the desert. He, of course, knew there must be someone in the desert that needs to hear about Jesus. And so I want to tell you, God's telling you, go to the desert. Don't be afraid to go to the desert. Don't be afraid to go to anyone, anywhere. So God sent Philip to the middle of nowhere. And I think of my parents in this situation and the pastor who influenced my parents. My parents were living in Waterford, Pennsylvania. And if you know where that is, you are totally a podunk hillbilly. It's a farming town just outside of Erie where I was born. But that hadn't happened yet. And it was very cold. Dad was out hunting. They had scheduled, I was reminded in first service, they didn't have cell phones. I need to highlight that. There was no cell phones back then for those younger people. And so Dad was waiting for to be picked up by Mom, and she didn't come. And he's getting a little frustrated. It's cold, you know, didn't obviously get anything while he's hunting. And so he's frustrated. Mom never came for him. And he walks down several miles to my grandparents' house, gets on the phone, which is what you had to do, okay, before cell phones. Gets on the phone, calls my mom's, calls the house and says, hey, where are you at? You know, slightly irritated. And she says, well, a nice couple from the church are here and you need to come home. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to come home, but my ride's not here. And she says, well, I'm going to stay here with them. You're going to need to walk. Can you imagine hearing that Pastor Ed Lapine? I'd just be like, oh, crap. This isn't going to get better. Okay, so Dad walks in. He's got a gun over his shoulder. Just walked 3 miles or whatever, however long it was. I'll have to measure it next time I'm up there in Podunkville and see how long it was. I'm sure Dad would say miles and miles, but however long it was, Dad's sitting there with a gun over his shoulder as Ed and Edie Lapine tell my parents about Jesus. And the way my dad tells the story, you know, he gets all the way through, and Dad still has the gun on his shoulder. And towards the end, he says, Jim, do you mind taking the gun off you know, your shoulder, setting that down somewhere? And my dad was the anyone, anywhere. My parents were the anyone, anywhere. Now, here's the thing. God said to Ed and Edie, go to this house. God put it on their heart to go to this house. Ed and Edie Lapine did not know that a few years down the road, my dad would be called to the ministry and start Treasure Coast Baptist Church in 1989 in Port St. Lucie. He didn't know that. He was just being obedient. He didn't know that a generation later, because he did what he was supposed to do, because he was an influencer, the one that he influenced, that next generation would start Coastal Community Church. And people would come to know Jesus because of that one. That influence was multiplied. And so we're getting a little bit of that picture right here. The narrative is starting to bring into focus that all you have to do is hear from the Lord and obey, and there are big influential opportunities waiting for you. But you have to realize it's not always going to be comfortable. God tells Philip he's going to be in the desert. He doesn't tell him, hey, the guy's going to not be in the same economic status as you. He's the treasurer of Ethiopia, underneath the authority of the queen, the Kandake, okay, or Candace in some versions. And by the way, I just want to say, like, culturally, they were very far away. In the Jewish culture, you know, it was very patriarchal. Well, this Ethiopian Kandake, some of you are like, oh, it's the queen, you know, kind of acting on behalf of the king. No, Ethiopia was more progressive than that. They actually had women ruling without any need. They did not need a man. Thought I'd get an amen there. They did not need a man to accomplish the goals of the kingdom. And so he was representing this queen. And I want to, you know, I share this because it needs to be said, because there's a lot of white people in here. He was black. Okay? I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you've ever met anybody from Ethiopia, but it is historically a place where black people live. And so they are different in color. They don't look the same. They don't think the same. They don't have the same cultural standards. And then there's this thing that kind of is mentioned, like Ethiopian eunuch. And don't Google that. Don't Google it. Especially not images, but if let me just tell you, it's male castration. It's male castration. Also, don't Google that. It's when you've been emasculated physically. And they do that to certain positions in the kingdom in order to make sure they're not a threat. And so this is the guy. They actually usually do this prepubescent. So he sounds different. He sounds unusual. He hasn't had his voice changed because he wasn't given the benefit of the hormones that would allow that to happen. He was also excluded from normal worship in the synagogue. So he was coming from worship. Well, there were certain places that he was not allowed to get to in the synagogue because of his physical condition. And God calls Philip, go to the desert. And Philip doesn't make excuses. He doesn't ask any questions. He just goes, which brings us to our next point. God is looking for influencers who are willing to run to rescue the lost. Now, I told you, like, if that fish was flopping around up here, somebody would run to his rescue, right? And I hope that you have that same sense of urgency that people without Jesus are floundering and flopping and need rescue urgently. God needs influencers who will run to the rescue, run to rescue the lost. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Let's continue. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, can I just say how awkward this would be? Okay, so let's just picture there's a chariot, and then here's Phil, you know, trying to keep up with the chariot. Hey, you know, that's creepy, okay? Anybody walks up to my window, right? You just like lock the doors, right? That's what you're doing. You're like, hurry up, lock the doors, make sure they don't hear. You know, that's right. And I just want to kind of paint a more accurate picture, because not only is he running along the chariot, beside the chariot, people of this stature don't travel alone. Later on, you're going to see he orders the carriage to stop. He's not ordering his imaginary friend to stop the carriage. There's a driver. There's probably an entire entourage dedicated to this authority figure. And so he has all these people. Can you imagine, like, the Secret Service are here, and you're like, I'm going to go run alongside the car. Dude, that is bold. Right? And the Lord didn't say, hey, go run. He didn't say run. He said go, right? Walk up to the chariot. Phil, he takes it seriously. He begins running to catch up to the chariot, to the carriage. There was a divine appointment, and he didn't want to miss it. He knew that little things like this, little influences like this, could reap huge results later. I think about, you know, Pastor Ed Lapine. I think about my mentor, Pastor Al, you know, God speaking to them and saying, hey, he didn't even know me. He's going to be here in May. You guys can hear from him. That's all sorts of embarrassing stories. And all through my life, there were divine appointments. You don't want to miss a divine appointment where God is calling you to have an influence that could impact generations. Early church tradition says that through this encounter, through this Ethiopian eunuch, the gospel of Jesus was brought to Ethiopia and flourished. Now, what if Philip was like, you know, I'm not sure if I heard the Lord or not. I think I better pray some more. Or I really need to prepare by reading more books about evangelism and discernment to see. No, he just heard God say, go, and he ran. And so I'm telling you, like, don't run if you have no idea that it's God speaking. But if God says, hey, you're to go after this one, don't miss the appointment. So So let's say I did flop this thing out on the... It's okay, it's not happening. Let's say I did flop this thing out on the stage. Like, here's a limited time. And I don't know how limited a time is for each and every one of you or the people that are kind of on my list of people that I would really love to see embrace Jesus. But the odds are, if he's telling you, move forward, at least their time for following Jesus is now. God needs influencers who will run to rescue the lost. Number three, God needs influencers who are equipped with the scripture and God himself. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have the third person of the Trinity living inside of you, you have the power, the same power that raised God from raised Jesus from the dead living inside of you. There's nothing to be afraid of. You have all the resources you need. And if we actually apply ourselves like to learning scripture, you don't have to like learn every bit and go to college, but the little bits that you know, God will use. And this was not the first time that Philip had heard Isaiah 53, which is what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. Let's continue in verse 30, second part, verse 30b, we call it, the second part. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. I just want to pause here for just a second, kind of retreat to last week's sermon. This is the invitation-only space. This is the space that he's only going to get to if he conducts himself in love and true compassion, if he behaves as Jesus would among lost people, then they will be invited into the carriage. Verse 32, the passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. The same God that sent Philip at just the right time, while he's reading the scriptures, needing support, he's sending you. He's not only sending you empty-handed, unprepared, he's equipping you. And if you spend time with God daily, and I want you to take seriously that time. I want you to take seriously the value of what we call a chair time, where you spend time reading the scriptures and you spend time praying. And I don't want you to take seriously that value like it's some checkbox that you mark and, all right, now I'm holy, or now I've finally put my faith where it needs to be. I'm Mr. Holy Faith Person. No, I want you to spend time in the Word so that God can use what you read to influence you as you influence others. I want you to spend time in the Word so that you can learn from Him, so that you can be equipped with the Scriptures. And I want you to spend time in prayer, not to check the box, not to just get it over with or have the laundry list. "Oh, Lord, I ask you for this, and I ask you for this, and would you please bring a nice man in my life, and would you please, I need a better job and a nicer house, and I want you to spend time with him in prayer so that you become familiar with him, so that you learn to hear his voice when he says, go. Because when you become familiar with the scripture, and when you become familiar with his voice saying, go, your influence, there's no limit. You don't have to prepare anything because you have the Holy Spirit who will utilize your time that you've already spent together to bring influence to the situation at hand. And all of us, we have influence through our story, through what God has done in your own life. You can share that. People will listen. You have influence through inviting someone to church. But when they invite you to share from the scriptures, where are you ready for that? So I want to, this is just a start. This is really just a start. We gave you a couple things as you walked in. There's a goldfish paper. I want you to take just a second, and maybe if the Lord is laying on your heart, just one person that you're just pleading with God, I am sent to this one. Pray over this person. Talk to this person. Create moments where the invitational space can be entered. Write down their name there. I put John 3:16 there. Some of them are blue, some of them are green, depending on if you're in salt water or fresh. I gave you another sheet of paper as well. It's the ABCs of the gospel. Man, this is really, some might say oversimplistic, the gospel ABCs. I use this when I invite people to come forward and put their faith in Jesus because it is simple. I do that so that they can easily understand what God is asking them to do. But I do that so that you can learn how to present the gospel to someone else in a very easy way. And so I gave you that card so that you can take that with you. Now don't slap them over the head and say, I'm about to tell you what you're doing wrong. You know, don't go into preacher mode and say, you need to admit that you're a sinner. Because Romans 3:23 says, don't go into that mode. You have that when the invitation has been extended. And please just don't ever go into that mode. But you have that invitation. When that invitation is extended, tell me. And people will do it. When they know what you stand for and when you've had some influence, people will call me out of the blue and say, Seth, I want to know how I can have a relationship with God. That just makes it way easier. And you can go through these ABCs. A, admit that you've sinned. A, admit, hey, I don't have it all figured out. I make some mistakes. Romans 3:23, it's an easy scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that might not be the one that's on the screen because I memorized it when I was a little boy, you know, in Awana. In a different version, John 3:16, after believe that Jesus has rescued you from the penalty of sin. And John 3:16 says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son on an urgent rescue mission to rescue people who are perishing from unbelief. So believe that Jesus has rescued you from the penalty of sin. And C, commit to make Jesus the boss. Some of you say, that's surrender. Yeah, use the church word, whatever you want, but make sure the people you're talking to understand what you're talking about. Commit to make Jesus your boss. And it looks like this, Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. This is where it is. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. When we make Jesus our boss, we commit. He gets to be the one that calls the shots. We admit, we believe, we commit. And there's a sample prayer that I put on there. God, I admit that I've sinned. I believe that you rescued me. From this day forward, I commit my life to you. Be the boss of my life. Amen. Doesn't have to be complicated. And sometimes when we invite people forward, I even have you recite it. It's not going to hurt you to recite that prayer. You can't, like, get oversaved, okay? It's okay to recite that to make the people around you feel more comfortable. But I want you to take a moment. I'm going to pause for just a moment. I want you to pray in that moment without me interrupting. Who is God calling me to go to? There's one line on that paper, on the goldfish paper. There's a whole reverse side if you need more space. God, who are you calling me to? Someday, or he may just lead his family well or her family well. or he may be the one who leads the one who leads the one who becomes a great and powerful influence for you. Right now, we just surrender. We're okay. We will go to the desert place for you, Lord. We will go to anyone for you. We will go to anywhere for you. Nothing is off limits. And we will run there to rescue the lost. And we trust that you will equip us as we study your scripture and spend time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to finish by reading the ending of that story, Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 39. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop. That's what I was talking about. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. See, here's the thing. If we urgently go when God says go, the person he sends us to will urgently make a decision. They realize that this is important, that they must act now. And the eunuch is like, "There's some water. Let's get baptized right now." Verse 39, it says, "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away." Don't get stuck on that. We can talk about that all day long. But the next part, the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. He was transformed because Philip was obedient and was a powerful influencer. Amen. God bless you. Be influencers.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.